Do be seated. If you do need a Bible, do just put your hand up and one can be brought to you. There is translation also available, so please do take advantage of that. If that will help you, you can go scan that code and go to the website and select the language of your choice. There were some search prizes and they were given out in the first service this morning. But in our Bibles, please turn to page 61, and that will take us back to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to begin our thoughts in verse 18. This is our final sermon in this section of our Exodus series. We will come back to Exodus, but that will be in 2026, sometime in 2026. So this is our last in this section of our series. And you might remember God has just spoken his Ten Commandments to Israel as they are gathered at Mount Sinai. And the title of our sermon this morning is Jesus, the only mediator between God and mankind. Jesus, the only representative that humanity has before God. And that's where we're heading, and we hope that we will see that as we go along. And our first heading under that this morning is God's holiness and the people's fear. And that's what we see in verse 18. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking and the people were afraid and trembled and they stood far off. So you might remember this is a theophany that is happening at Mount Sinai. God is appearing. God's presence is really there, and the sounds and the shaking and the lightning are evidence of his presence. They are saying God is here on the mountain. And just notice two things. Notice the flashes of lightning that are mentioned. In the Hebrew, that flashes of lightning is all one word. And it's not the same word that we saw back in verse 16 of chapter 19 where lightning is mentioned. There, that's the normal kind of word for lightning in the sky. But the word here in our passage in verse 18, it's only used one other time in the Pentateuch, in Moses' five books of the Bible. And it stands for the word torch, torches, burning torch. And it's used in chapter 15. Where God makes his covenant, his agreement with Abraham. I wonder if you remember that. That's when God came to Abraham and Abraham cut up a number of animals in half and he laid them opposite each other to make a kind of pathway. And God, as a burning torch, came through that pathway of animals at night and confirmed his covenant with Abraham. And now here, Moses uses that word right here, the only other time, to draw our attention to the fact that truly the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, is here on the mountain with his people. And he's here in his holy splendor and his dangerous purity. And he has called all Israel to stand before him. How has he done that? Well, he's done it by a divine trumpet. And that's the second thing that we just take note of. The trumpet that is mentioned in verse 18. Because just like the burning torch, this divine trumpet also lets Israel know God is present. He has summoned them by his divine trumpet. He has arrived on Mount Sinai and everyone must gather. And this is why the rest of the feasts of Israel are begun with a trumpet. The Day of Atonement is begun with a trumpet. The Year of Liberty, the Year of Jubilee is begun with a trumpet. God is saying, I am present. I am summoning my people to me. And what is Israel's response to God's holy presence on this day of gathering to him? Well, we see in verse 18, it's one of fear. They're afraid. They're terrified. And we're told in verse 18 that therefore they stood far off. We're told twice in the passage they stood far away. And that stands in contrast to where they were standing earlier. If you look at verse 17 of chapter 19, at the end of verse 17, we're told that they were standing at the foot of the mountain. They were up close. But now they have moved away. How did they put distance between them and God? Did they run? Was there a kind of mass stampede? Did they stagger? Kind of almost drunkenly? Because, you know, fear, real fear, affects you physically. Or did they retreat backwards? Well, we don't know how they retreated, but we do know why. Fear. Fear of God caused them to retreat. And we were pretty confident of what that fear was. It was the fear of judgment. So in verse 19, they are frightened lest God would kill them, lest they would die. They're anticipating judgment from God upon them. What a fear they had. But their response doesn't only include fear. They also cry out to Moses. And that's our second point. The people's plea and promise. Verse 19. And they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us lest we die." So they plead with Moses to represent them to God. To be their mediator. Take that in. This is the people that have complained against him, that were wanting to stone him. But now, in this moment of fear, they're putting their trust in Moses. They know he's willing to go up the mountain. And they say, "Please, represent us before God." And they're doing, they want more than just in a way, or they're adding to that representation. They are willing to listen to him. Verse 19. "We will listen to you, Moses. Maybe we haven't been doing that, but we will now." So they get one thing really correct in this plea, in this kind of covenant that they're establishing. They don't say, "Moses, speak to God from us." They don't say that. "We've got something to say to God." No, they say, "You speak God's words to us. We know it's God's words we've got to hear. We know it's him that's got to speak." You know, humanity today thinks it's us that have got to speak. We've got to tell our story. "That will help me out. That will put things right." No, no. Humanity has to be quiet. They have to hear God's words. That's what will sort us out. When God speaks and we hear his truth and we're willing to stop talking ourselves. So they get that right. We need divine revelation, not human invention. So the people's plea to Moses is, "You speak God's word to us." And their promise is, "We will listen." What a promise. What a covenant the people are making with God here at Sinai themselves. "God, please let your mediator speak your words to us and we will listen to him." And do remember, in Hebrew culture and Hebrew language, to listen, it couldn't be separated from doing. If you didn't do, you hadn't listened. That's the Hebrew meaning of listen. If you listen, you've shown it by the fact that you've obeyed and you've done whatever was said. And so the people have put their trust in Moses and they are willing to listen to him. And this was God's intention. This was part of God's purpose for Mount Sinai. Look at verse 9 of chapter 19. He says to Moses, "Listen, I am coming to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." God orchestrates this encounter at Mount Sinai so that the people will trust in Moses. And so it's not a surprise in verse 21 that we see Moses taking on that role and heading up the mountain and the people accepting that role as they stand at the bottom. So the people, they plea and they promise, and Moses assures and explains. That's our third point. Moses' assurance and explanation. And that's in verse 20. "Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.'" So the people are deeply frightened, they're terrified, they're shaking, and Moses assures them in that fear. And he says, don't fear God. God wants you to fear him. That's what he says. Don't fear God, he wants you to fear him. Is Moses contradicting himself? Well, no. He's saying, don't fear God in terms of don't fear his judgment. That's not what is coming. God hasn't come to kill you. He has come to test you. And the idea here of a test is not so much to give you a trial, but to give you an experience. You might test drive a car, and part of it is to test out the car, but you're actually wanting the experience. The experience of it is going to be the proving factor. And God is giving them an experience of his awesome person so that they will fear him and they won't sin against him. He appears to me in this way so that this encounter might carry on shaking, reverberating in them down through the days and the months and the years for the rest of their lives, and they will recall it and fear God. And that in remembering and fearing, they will not sin. It will keep them from it. So how numb, how forgetful, how rebellious Israel is that in just 40 plus days, we're going to find them worshipping idols at the bottom of this mountain. Where has the fear gone so quickly? God needs to deal with the same forgetfulness in us, doesn't he? We forget. Our fear can be there for a moment and then disappear, get clouded out. We need to keep coming back and beholding our God, seeking to see how awesome and being reminded of how awesome and holy he is, that we might fear him correctly. So we see there is a good fear and a bad fear. God's people are not to have a fear of God's judgment. If you're a person trusting in Jesus, you are not to fear his judgment. But we are to have a fear, a deep reverence, a trembling awe at his splendor, at his infinite and eternal being, his wisdom and his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, and his truth. So if you are trusting in Jesus, if you are hidden in him this morning, when you sin, and you will, and when you sin badly, which you may do, do you immediately fear the judgment of God? Well, that is a wrong fear. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing the gospel is. And if you're a Christian and some way you are fearing Jesus Christ turning up and returning because you somehow feel that there might be judgment for you there, then that is a wrong fear. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Love casts out fear. Don't fear like that. But if you are in Jesus Christ, do tremble that the holy God has forgiven you. That though he could judge you, and he could bring that upon you, that he could send you to hell, he has instead forgiven you, reconciled you, redeemed you, brought you to himself. Marvel at that. Stand in awe at that. Never treat God's forgiveness casually, but stand in awe of it. That such a pure, mighty, holy God would forgive me, would forgive you. Listen to Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Wow. We don't treat the forgiveness of God lightly. We understand to be forgiven by such a God, it's an awesome, fear-filled thing. Do you see this good fear? We are forgiven, but we don't lose sight of the awesome power and justice and grace and kindness of the one who has forgiven us. We tremble before such a mighty, forgiving God. Also, more points of application. God and people haven't changed. The holiness we see at Mount Sinai is still the holiness of God. The guilt of Israel that they feel at Sinai and that we see is still the guilt of humanity today as we are born into this world and as we grow. And if we meet this holy God without his mediator, we will fear his judgment, and rightly so, because his judgment will fall upon all outside of Jesus Christ. So God and people haven't changed, but wonderfully, well, it's wonderful that God hasn't changed, of course, but it's wonderful that the mediator has changed. There's a new mediator. We don't have to look to Moses. And Moses knew that that mediator was coming. When Moses had finally guided the people of Israel to the edges of Canaan, to the edges of the promised land, and he spoke to them before entering the land, this is what he said. The nations in Canaan listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. That's who they listen to. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked for of the Lord your God at Mount Sinai on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord, our God, nor see his great fire among us anymore, or we will die. So Moses says to the people, the Lord will raise up a different mediator. You and everyone must listen to him. That applies to us today. If there is to be salvation, we must listen to him. When you ask, Moses said to the people, when you asked at Mount Sinai for a mediator, you were not actually asking for me. You were asking for him. He is the mediator you and the whole world need before a holy, holy, holy God. And Jesus Christ is that promised mediator between God and mankind. In Luke chapter 9, Luke takes us to another mountain. I believe it is Mount Hermon. It's 40 kilometers north of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus climbs that mountain. And on it, he meets with Moses. And they talk about Jesus' exodus. And the two mediators of the Bible are there together. And Jesus' disciples are there wondering what to make of it. Then a cloud covers Mount Hermon as it covered Mount Sinai. And the voice of God speaks to the people, to his disciples, as he spoke at Mount Sinai. And what does God say? This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. In other words, he's your mediator. When he speaks, you hear my voice. Listen to him. And when the cloud cleared, only Jesus stood there. What happened on that mountain? Well, one thing that was happening is that it was God's divine appointment of the handover from one mediator to another in the history of Israel, from the temporary mediator to the eternal mediator. Look at verse 9 again of chapter 19 in Exodus, when God says, "Listen, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." You could say, isn't Moses forever? No. He is forever until Jesus, if you can use that phrase. Like all the Old Testament shadows are forever until Jesus. Jesus fulfills them all. And they are forever in him. And you could say they're forever until him. So when the cloud cleared, there was only Jesus on Mount Hermon, the true and eternal mediator. And when the cloud cleared from Mount Sinai, and the dust settled from that encounter between God and Israel, what do we see? Well, when it all clears, we simply see a plain altar standing alone, a place of sacrifice. Let's look at verses 22 through 24. And here we get the altar. And the Lord said to Moses, "So you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen with your eyes that I have talked with you from heaven." So here, God is talking to Moses. The encounter with the people is finished. Moses has gone up the mountain. A new phase is slightly beginning. And God is talking to Moses. He's mentioning what he talked to Israel about. Verse 23, "You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold." God is reminding Moses of the first two commandments. He's saying, listen, when you go back down, this is the first thing you can say. Make sure this is primary. No idols, but verse 24, an altar. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. No idols. One altar. That's what is in view when all the dust settles. It's a picture of Jesus. And notice in verse 24 where it says, "In every place where I cause my name to be remembered." In the Hebrew, it's actually "in every the place." There's a definite article in front of "place." In every the place. So it's talking about one specific place. God doesn't have in view altars dotted across the country, but one place of meeting between him and his people. One altar of sacrifice. One place of access between God and man. Jesus isn't just the only mediator between God and man. He is the only means of reconciliation. He alone is the sacrifice which will pay for our sins, that will turn away God's holy anger and give us trembling joy in God's presence. And so, Jesus is the mediator who, like Moses, ascends into the darkness of God's holy presence. Moses ascended into the darkness of God's holy presence on Mount Sinai. Jesus ascended into the darkness of God's holy presence as a judgment, to receive the judgment of sin at the cross. That's where Jesus ascended into the darkness of God, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know reconciliation, that he might bear the awesome judgment of a holy God upon sin. So listen to Luke again in Luke 23. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight, this is the sight of Jesus ascending to the cross, being put on the cross, and the darkness that God sent as a picture of his judgment on Jesus himself, when they saw that sight, and what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew Jesus including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance. They stood far off, like the people of Israel at Sinai. And they watched these things, watching their mediator represent them, go where they couldn't go, do what they couldn't do on their behalf. What a savior. What a courageous, compassionate, loving mediator to enter into the darkness of that judgment. Do we want to listen to him? Do we want to obey him? Like dearly loved children, obey? Well, that leads to a question. How well are we listening to our mediator? At Mount Sinai, Israel said, "Give us a mediator and we will listen to him." Surely, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ this morning, there came a point where you said, "Jesus, be my mediator, be my savior, represent me, and I will listen to you." That's what being Lord is. I will listen to you. I will hear your voice and I will obey your voice. How are we doing in our listening to Jesus? What are you listening to most? What voices hold sway in your life most? God has spoken and God is speaking through Jesus all the time, through his word, as we were hearing in the children's talk. When we read the Bible, we don't simply read words. We are hearing the voice of God. And by a miracle of God's grace, in his mercy, you are hearing his voice this morning. We have a mediator who speaks. Do we love him? Do I love him? Do we honor him? Do we listen to him? And remember, we only listen if we act and obey. We can't kid ourselves by hearing and not doing. Is there anything you need to do in your life to improve your listening to Jesus? Is there anything you need to change? Anything you need to get rid of? Anything you need to bring in that really improves your listening to Jesus? Well, how are we listening? And we could ask the question, how are we gathering to worship? How do you come? How do you gather to worship? What is your aim? Well, we should recognize that we worship with a focus on Christ alone. That's what God's church comes to do. That's what the local church comes to do, gather. And our focus should be on Christ alone. That's what the simple altar in verses 24 and 25 are calling us to. He's calling us to. That's that picture. It calls us to gather round Christ and worship him. And just notice two things about this altar that I think do speak into our gathering. So in verse 25, we read, "If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of cut stones. For if you use your tool on it, you profane it, you make it useless, you make it common." God says, do not use cut stones on the altar. Why does he say that? Well, there might be more than one reason, but I think one reason is he is saying, listen, don't bring any kind of human activity or skill to this in a way. Don't start decorating the stones. And then over a period of time, these stones become more and more elaborate. Don't cut stones like that. So in the end, the altar is just a beautiful, beautiful thing that detracts from the worship of Christ, the one sacrifice. Don't use cut stones. You can't add anything to the work of Christ. You can't exalt it in that way. Just come and worship Jesus Christ. Let him be the focus. Let there be no distraction from him. So even as we seek to serve God with our gifts, don't let them become a distraction in the worship. Don't bring your cut stones, whatever they might be. But then we get one more thing in verse 26. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed or isn't exposed on it. God is saying here, listen, he might be saying more than one thing again, but I think he is saying, I don't want any inappropriate nakedness when there is a gathering. Not even a hint of it when the high priest walks up the steps. You might say, surely that is not a reference to kind of inappropriate nakedness. But did you know some surrounding nations conducted worship totally naked? That's the way they did it. And for other nations, sexual activity was a fundamental part of worship. So the pressures from the nations was in that direction all the time. And God is saying to Israel, don't let that approach creep in to your worship, not even a little. We are not surrounded by religious sexual cults on the whole, but we are surrounded by a society that worships sex and promotes sexualized exposure of the body. We need to say no to that way of thinking and behaving. The gathering of the church is unto Jesus, not unto ourselves. We come to gaze on him, not on each other. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. So may our gathering to God be free of the distractions that the world would seek to put into our lives. A second under this heading is when we come to worship, we worship with fear and joy and context. We worship with fear and joy and context. Let me read a little from Hebrews chapter 12. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. That's Mount Sinai he's referring to. To darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. That's what Israel gathered to. But no, verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion. That's where the church gathers. Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So every time we gather, it's a spiritual activity. God's people gather in a way in a heavenly realm. They gather unto God and his throne. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. We gather with the angels when we worship. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We join with past saints who are gathered in heaven now. And we come to Jesus. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We come to him. So when we gather, there is fear, not the fear of Mount Sinai, though God has not changed, but the fear of coming before a holy, awesome God who has forgiven us, who loves us. And when we gather, there is joy because we come in Jesus Christ, our mediator. We are accepted in him forever. And when we gather, there is a sense of context. A sense of heaven, because we seek together to worship at Mount Zion before God in his presence. And there's many distractions against that. But God says, seek that reality as we gather together. Finally, one more question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for what? Are you ready for the final gathering? Are you ready for a final trumpet? A trumpet to shake the earth and to wake the dead. It will be sounded. You will hear it. There is coming a final day of judgment. God will summon all humanity from the whole of history, and they will turn up. Everyone who is alive at Jesus' coming will be there, and everyone who has died will be raised for that judgment. For the church, for those in Jesus, for those in the mediator that God has given, there will be fearful joy. There will be a running to him. For everyone outside of God's gift of a mediator, there will be terrible fear. A day where they will want to put as much distance as they can between themselves and the burning holiness of Jesus Christ. But there will be no place to hide. Are you ready to be summoned before God? There is only one way to be ready. Come to Jesus now. Listen to him now. Believe in him now. And he will be your mediator forever. Amen.